Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 30-second episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include former NFL wide receiver Vernon Davis, actress Betsy Randall, actor and musician Ed Quinn, former child actor Jonathan Lipnicki, and her good friend, Meathead Goldwyn. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and share with your friends. Our first guest is former NFL wide receiver Vernon Davis. We'll be talking about the latest season of Dancing with the Stars, which airs Monday nights on ABC, 8 Eastern, 7 local time. Vernon Davis, I mentioned to him before we come on the air this morning, it's good to finally be able to cheer for him. He was always wearing the wrong uniform in the NFL, but you got the uniform right, Vernon?
Yeah, I got it right now.
Vernon, what's it been like so far, Dancing with the Stars? Did it meet or exceed those expectations you had coming in?
It's been great. It's been great. But let me tell you, it's been a struggle. It's been a true challenge for me because I'm not a dancer. I don't have a dancing background. And you know, learning these different routines each and every week, it's been tough because you have to really make sure that you're good on the details. And trying to be good on the details with 6 days of perfecting the dance is it's hard for anyone.
And being a former NFL player, did anybody back in the day, did they ever try to have you do ballet to improve your steps or anything like that in your career?
Yes, I had so many people trying to get me to partake in ballet, but I never really made time for it. I wish I did because I can see how it would be able to help you.
Now, what did you learn about yourself during the process of Dancing with the Stars thus far?
You know what I learned? That I learned that I can do anything. I learned that if you just take time and focus on something, and anything's possible. And I never really thought I'd be doing ballroom dancing, and you know, I always thought it was hard and difficult, and you know, I thought it would take a lot of time. But you know, I've learned these dances in days. So it's all a mindset. You know, if you put your mind to it, you can achieve it.
Now, you've got the Vernon Davis Foundation for the Arts that you had set up, and how much does this make you even appreciate the arts that much more?
Oh, yes. You know, art is everything. You know, art is painting, it's architecture, it's dancing, instruments, music, it's everything. So, you know, whenever you're into the arts, there's a huge correlation between all facets of art, and that's what I love about it. And you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate all kinds of art, and because of the work that goes into it. You know what I mean? It's just like football to me. It's all about the preparation with all of this stuff. And if you're prepared, you can go out and you can perform really well when you need to.
Now, when you first got into the NFL coming out of college, obviously you had your sights set on some end goals. Did you ever have a philanthropist, actor, and all those things included in the slashes after your name?
No, it all kind of happened. You know, my main focus was just football at first. You know, I always knew I wanted to help people, and you know, I thought I'd be able to help people just by, you know, the income that I was having through football. But it was always bigger than that. Yeah. And I didn't know that, but I just had to learn throughout time. And, you know, throughout time, I started to navigate, and things just started to happen. It's been great. It's been an amazing journey.
And away from the football field and into dancing, obviously Dancing with the Stars is one of those things that has lifted people's spirits for many years. And we've heard so many examples of dancers that have been on the show that have been affected by it. And for you to be able to bring a positive into people's lives, especially when there's so much darkness out there in 2020, Vernon, what does that mean to you on a personal side?
It means a lot to be able to put smiles on everyone's face because of everything it's been going on in 2020, and that's what life is all about. It's all about helping people with their problems. How can you solve a problem? I think Dancing with the Stars is solving a huge problem for families sitting at home watching TV because they're able to sit back with their family, smile, and just live in the moment and forget about all the things that happened this year, which is good. They can reset, right? And if they're watching us and you know, we're out there performing. It feels good. It feels good to know that we're able lives better.
And for you, 2020, the way it's been so far, what have you delved into? I mean, we've all had to delve into something a little bit different. And aside from the dancing, which is an obvious, what is maybe something else that you've learned, or maybe learned a new way of taking care of it?
For me, I learned so much. I learned how to cook. I learned how to fix things around the house. I even learned how to dance. Can you believe it? just so many different things I've been able to get into with producing films, learning how to perfect the craft of acting, and, you know, all sorts of things. And I became a better father because I got much closer to my kids. And, you know, it's been great. I know there's been a lot of adversity during this time, but we also have to look at the positive side of things and see the things that we were able to navigate through and get better at.
And Vernon, for you, there's so many things going on. Obviously, the Dancing with the Stars, you want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can vote for you to keep you going on Monday night. And then social media-wise, everything else you got going on as well.
Yeah, they can vote. So they can vote live during the show, Eastern Standard Time. We usually come on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they can text Vernon to 21523, or they can go online at dwtsvote.abc.com, and they can vote 10 times on each platform, which is pretty cool. I encourage people to vote for me. They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at VernonDavis85.
All right. Well, Vernon, congratulations on making it thus far. Continued success throughout the season, and hopefully, brother, we can catch up and visit again real soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Our next guest is actress Betsy Randall. You probably remember her most from the series Boy Meets World. Got a new movie we'll be talking about called Painter. Betsy Randall on the line with us. And first off, Betsy, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, Betsy, tell our listeners, if they haven't seen the trailers, the previews, a little bit about the new film Painter.
Well, it's really about a painter, but it's more about the relationship between a painter, two painters. My character is an older woman with lots of money and was once a painter and is no longer. And she is decides to take this young male painter who's, you know, she really likes and loves his work, and she starts falling for him, and the connection there between the two of them, a relationship of wanting to support his work and make him a genius painter and famous and so on. This is from, she becomes obsessed with that. So that's sort of a rambling description of it. I think it's better written on that little bio. But it's interesting because, you know, you don't know who she is really. She's just obsessed with this young painter, and he's desperate for help and support. So he, you know, they run around in a world that you don't expect. So I don't want to give away too much.
And Betsy, obviously with 2020, things have changed. Obviously, the marketing, and it is available now on video on demand. And Betsy, how challenging has 2020 been for you on a personal level as well?
Oh gosh, well, I think it's so similar to so many people. We are lucky to have our health, and we're very careful. We're mask wearers, so we're definitely practicing what our scientists have told us to do to take care and not spread the virus. So we're conscientious about that. I've done more cleaning. I say lots of cleaning in my house. I've gone through all my old pictures and created new albums. So it's just obsessive because there's nothing else to do. And I've kind of enjoyed that part of it, to tell you the truth. I've enjoyed being able to just take care of things that I putting off before. So I assume you have had that same experience.
Yeah, doing a lot of those things that always seem to slip through the cracks, right?
Yeah, the gutter. You got the gutter.
Now, Betsy, do you find it refreshing to take on a character like your role in The Painter?
Do I like my role in The Painter?
Do you find it refreshing to play a different type of a role than you're known for, I guess?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, it's wonderful. I was saying to somebody that one of the things about being an actor is you don't judge yourself. Your character, no matter what they do or don't do, they're right. They're always right. So as far as I'm concerned, he was right. Get behind a thought process and then justify a behavior or whatever. If you haven't seen the movie, you're not. Once everybody sees the movie, they'll kind of get what I'm talking about. But it's just like playing Amanda in Glass Menagerie. She can be very controlling, and you think she's cruel, but she's, as far as she's concerned, she's doing everything for the good of her children, and that's that, you know. So I love playing that. I love playing the mom in Boy Meets World, too, but it was a whole different. Everything was different, and it wasn't like that. I didn't have that license to stretch out that far. They wouldn't want me to do that.
Now, Betsy, how much different is it to the camaraderie on the set of, say, like Boy Meets World, and opposed to like the movie set? I mean, do you ever have the opportunity to have a closeness in the short time you guys have together on set?
Yes, we don't have the long term relationship, the 7 years, which of course is what Boy Meets World was, but. Tell you the truth, in a way that you feel closer when it's a smaller cast and shorter period of time. Just it's like you come together and you all have the same mission. It's sort of an urgency that makes it delicious in a way, and you don't have time to kill or anything. You just have to. Well, because I had a big part, you know, it wasn't like I was this little part, so I was busy. Desperately trying to remember my words. My daughter saved me. I stayed at her apartment while I was shooting in L.A., and I don't live there, so I just lived with her, and if it weren't for her, I wouldn't have had all my words down, but I did have a lot of talking to do. To answer your question, there was a closeness, and there was a mutual respect for everybody from wardrobe to everybody. They just were lovely. Everyone wanted me to feel comfortable and wanted me to do a good job, and it helped. And I was equally as complimentary of them. So we really did have a nice bond, and I think the boy, he's a grown man. The guy who plays opposite me in the movie is a lovely person and a lovely actor, very committed, and so we didn't chum around so much as we just had a similar goal, make this work. And you create a relationship when you're working with another actor, especially if that's the main person you're working with. You just can't help it. You create a story.
And again, like we mentioned, the new thriller Painter, it is available on VOD, available now. And Betsy, it's always great to visit with you. I'm looking forward to checking out the new film, and hopefully we can visit again real soon.
Okay, thanks so much. You take care.
Up next is actor and musician Ed Quinn. We'll be talking about season 4 of One Day at a Time. Also talking music and some of his other projects upcoming. First off, Ed, great to visit with you.
Hey, great to visit you, Cameron. Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, like I said, a couple of projects coming up, a new season of One Day at a Time. Also, American Pie presents Girls Rule coming up. And Ed, staying busy even through the slow times that everybody else is dealing with. How's that working out for you, brother?
Yeah, I mean, I feel so blessed, Cameron. I got to say, I mean, it's, you know, both the shows, you know, my show, The Oval, and then, you know, One Day at a Time, both got shut down for the pandemic. Tyler Perry, you know, is Tyler Perry. So he moved heaven and earth, got 377 of us into a bubble onto the lot. So we were able to shoot season 2. That should be coming out probably early 2021. One Day at a Time, you know, it had a hard run, and it you know, just One Day at a Time, this little show with such a big heart, and it just refuses to give up the ghost. And it got canceled by Netflix, but Pop TV picked it up. It gets canceled by what the pandemic cut the season in half, and Pop TV is not going to do scripted anymore. So One Day at a Time's homeless again. But CBS comes in and says, you know what? We're going to put season 4 on Monday nights at 9 p.m. for the month of October. It's also on CBS.com. So if you never got a chance to see the show, or if you love the show, every eyeball counts, because you know, this is a big swing for the little show, and we could get to, we could find ourselves a new home there on the CBS family. And then, yeah, when American Pie Girls Rule is top 10 on Netflix, has been all week. You know, it's the perfect raunchy teen comedy with a heart. So things are good.
And Ed, you talk about the heart of American Pie as well, but One Day at a Time, were you a fan of the original series back in the day?
I absolutely was. Yeah, I watched it when I was back then. I mean, all Norman Lear stuff too. I mean, you know, Norman's still there. He's still on the set every day. It's, you know, it was a real honor to work with such an absolute legend. And you know, with this reimagination that Gloria Calderon-Colette and Mike Royce came up with is really special. It's really timely, you know, and it's just, the cast is phenomenal. Maybe if you guys haven't heard of the show, maybe you're watching Dancing with the Stars, and Justina Machado, the lead of the show, is just dancing her little heart out. It's a special little show. But I mean, you know, television is a brutal business, and just, I can't tell you how many pilots that I've been on, how many shows I've been on that got canceled when they're supposed to go 5 more years. It's hard, and so, you know, I'm just real proud of One Day at a Time for fighting as hard as it is.
Now, Ed, I mentioned musician as well. Was musician, was that first, or was the acting the first bug that got you?
Music was first. You know, I grew up playing, you know, in Berkeley, California. You know, every little kid had a guitar, and you know, Joe Satriani was the guitar teacher, had secondhand guitars down there on Rosen Grove. It was a special place to grow up, and, you know, a lot of friends joined in bands, and I ended up sort of putting it down and going to college, and then going to Europe, and then I came back, and as I was studying acting, pick it up again, had a band that, you know, started headlining all over Hollywood, got signed, imploded, and now here I am again, interestingly, just built a recording studio down the street. So, yeah, music was my first love, but it's also a really tough business. I think it's the hardest of all the businesses, and, you know, when I was playing in my bands in the 90s, was right when Napster happened and the internet happened, and people just don't understand that a lot of people lost their entire livelihood because all of a sudden music was free. And it was, it'd be like farmers all of a sudden turn around one day and you can't sell broccoli or corn or, you know, anything, because it's all for free now. And what are you going to do for a living? So.
Now, Ed, which of the two do you find to be the better release? If you need to get something off your chest, is it the guitar, or is it the bathroom mirror that you consult?
For me, I mean, like, what I love about music is I'll always be a 15-year-old, you know, the rest of development when I picked up a guitar. You know, acting is fantastic. Is phenomenal, but it's a much different experience, and, you know, and it's all about the process, not the moment. You know, you have to be in the moment when you're acting and the cameras are rolling, but the preparation and the blocking and the, you know, getting the job and what job and what's the character, it's always changing, and it's always, I mean, like, if you look at the 3 shows that I'm on right now, you know, The Oval's a big soapy primetime, you know, drama. One Day at a Time is a, you know, situation comedy, which you shoot live in front of a live TV audience. And then American Pie is, you know, big, silly, raunchy teen comedy. So all much, much different. And you've got to be sort of aware of that, you know, until the cameras are rolling.
That's right. Well, Ed, like you mentioned, One Day at a Time, Monday nights throughout the month of October, also American Pie and The Oval. And also want to make sure our listeners know where they can keep up with everything you got going on social media wise as well.
Yeah, at Edward Quinn on Instagram is my main one. I sort of dancing it out of Twitter when I'm live tweeting something. That's at Edward Quinn as well. At Ed Quinn on Facebook.
All right. Well, Ed, always good to visit with you. Hope you have a great rest of your week and look forward to catching up again real soon.
Thank you so much.
Former child actor Jonathan Lipnicki's all grown up has a new movie we'll be talking about today called Broil.
First off, Jonathan, it's great to visit with you this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Really great to talk to you, Cameron.
Now, Jonathan, things are a little different than Jerry Maguire in the new movie Broil that's available today. And Jonathan, tell our listeners just a little bit about the new film and how you first got involved with the part.
So it is about a powerful family, and the daughter of the patriarch hires a killer for hire who's a chef to poison her father at a family dinner. I play that chef. Really interesting role for me. Really excited I got to do it. How I got kind of involved was they originally were looking at somebody else that my agent represented, and he wasn't able to do it. And the director, Edward, saw my name on her client list and was like, "What's Jonathan up to?" And I sent in some you know, footage of me, and they liked it, and I was on a plane to Canada, you know, and making this movie.
Now, whenever you were sending in footage, were you showing, like, your home cooking, or how did they make that connection to you?
You know, what's really interesting is actually, you know, what kind of got me this role was a self-tape I did for the white supremacist in that TV show Hunters on Amazon, you know, with Al Pacino and Logan Lerman. And I sent in it was an old audition I had, and my manager really liked the audition and sent it to them because he thought it fit. And it, you know, it struck something, and I ended up getting the role.
And Jonathan, now that you're all grown up and everything, you had some time away to kind of grow your craft. And what was who was the inspiration in those times away from the public eye, if you will?
You know, it's not like I ever was like consciously like I'm just gonna take some time. I just kind of focused more on, you know, high school and being a normal kid. I always knew there was some growth that needed to happen, especially artistically and, you know, personally. And I started going to acting classes and doing theater and rediscovering why I love this. And I, you know, I absolutely fall in love with it more every project I do. And the inspiration behind that, I have a really good family, you know, and they've been there for me.
And for you, was horror something that always had a draw to you, something that was of interest to you in the first place?
You know, I'm not a person who looks at genre and is like, I need to do that genre. It's the character and it's the material. And I've been drawn towards darker things, definitely. And this was somebody and people who are misunderstood. And this from reading, I think it was like I read less than 10 pages and I called my agent, do whatever you got to do. I want this one.
And for you, the release, obviously, this time around, completely different, obviously, the age of technology. But with COVID and the pandemic, what's the landscape look like differently now than previous releases you've been a part of before?
Well, you know, the obvious one, we were supposed to have it in some theaters, and I don't think that's happening any longer. I, as a person who loves going to the movies, that, you know, that's been a thing that's sad. But you know what? The most important thing there, you know, is people getting healthy and us getting back to some sort of normalcy. I'm just happy to have it out and available for people to see. And it's cool digitally. I like to interact with people. So I'm really, you know, the cool thing about now having social media and whatnot is I get to get some great feedback from some people who have been supporting me for a long time, and it's really awesome. I really like interacting with people who are fans or you know, are just checking me out in this for the first time. But you know, I'm just grateful to have it out.
And again, debuting on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD available today. Jonathan, I want to make sure and let folks know where they can find more information about the film, and of course, where they can keep up with everything you've got going on social media-wise as well.
I'm mostly an Instagram person because it's positive Twitter gets a little negative. Instagram, it's just my name, Jonathan Lipnicki. Broil, you can check it out on iTunes, Amazon, or if you like having a physical copy, DVD, Blu-ray.
That's awesome. And again, Jonathan, it's been great to visit with you this morning. Looking forward to checking out the film and hope you have a great rest of your week, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And our final guest is our good friend, Meathead Goldwyn.
All right, guys, promised you another very special guest. And every month we get joined by our good friend, grill extraordinaire, grill man extraordinaire, Meathead Goldwyn. And Meathead, always great to visit with you, my friend.
Oh, always good to talk to you. I get hungry when I talk to you.
Because you always are talking about some great stuff. And, you know, as the seasons change, obviously, gardening is starting to wind down. And thought maybe you had some ideas as we get rid of some of the garden product, if you will.
Well, you know, I'm a gardener. My wife is actually, she's the gardener. She's a master gardener. You know what's happening now is the tomatoes just won't get ripe. Now, down by you, they're probably still getting ripe. But sometime towards the end of the season, they just stop ripening. They just stay green. And, of course, everybody knows about fried green tomatoes, and they're fantastic. And people who want to do fried green tomatoes, there's two techniques. One is to bread them, and the other is to batter them. And to do breading, you can dip it in milk or egg. Egg is best, and then roll it around in breadcrumbs or a panko, and you can flavor the breadcrumbs. And just put them in a frying pan and a quarter inch of oil. Flip them over, and they're wonderful. And they're really good on a burger. Batter, you actually make up a batter, a beer batter, and. We've got a really good beer batter recipe on AmazingRibs.com. Come get that recipe to start with. But that's where you get this really shattering, puffy crust on things. And that's a fun way to go. The other thing to do with green tomatoes that I just did this week is to pickle them. Now, a lot of people don't know about pickled green tomatoes, but they're just as good as pickled cucumbers. In fact, I think they're better because they're crunchier on the outside. You know, if you go to New York, you go to any of the classic Jewish delis, Katz's, Carnegie Deli, there's always a big bowl of pickled green tomatoes. And you just make them the same way you would do pickled cucumbers. A little salt, a little vinegar, some garlic, and some dill. And if you want to throw in a hot pepper to give it a little juice, go for it. And it's really easy. Now, pickling there are different ways to go with pickling. You know, some people put them in a crock and they ferment them. And that's tricky because you're dealing with live microbes and they don't always go right. And a lot of people, I don't advise that beginners start with fermented pickling. And you can process them also. You can can them. Sterile process them so they're shelf stable. You can put them in your pantry. But if you're not experienced with canning, that's a little tricky too because you don't want them to continue to ferment in your pantry. But the easiest thing to make is refrigerator pickles. They're really easy, and you can do them for onions, jalapenos, cucumbers, green peppers, green tomatoes, and that's it. Just you mix up the vinegar and the salt and maybe a little sugar, dill, whatever seasonings you want, and then you keep them in the fridge. And this is especially good if you've got a spare fridge in the garage or basement or something because you can just load them up, and they'll keep forever. And they really stay crunchy. They stay crunchier than if you can them, if you process them. And they're just fantastic. They go great with barbecue.
And obviously, whenever you cook vegetables, a lot of times you lose some of the nutrients. And obviously, refrigerating them, it's going to keep those nutrients as well.
Yes, that's it. And not only keep the nutrients, but it keeps the crunch. When you're doing canning, you pack everything in the can, and you've got the brine, the vinegar, and everything, and you put a lid on it that is going to seal, and then you submerge the whole thing in simmering water, and that pasteurizes it. And now you can take it out and you can store it on a shelf in the basement or in your pantry. But what happens when you do that is you're essentially you're cooking them, and they become flaccid. They lose their snap. The cool thing about refrigerator pickles is you can start eating them after 24 hours. They really suck up the flavors, and they continue to improve in flavor for like a week. But new pickles, new cucumber pickles, I really like them after 24 hours. They're really, and that's what they're called, new pickles. And a lot of pickling stores sell new pickles, and after a week, they're not new anymore.
Now, when you start the pickling process, is there anything? How do you prepare the vegetable itself to be put in the pickling agent?
Yeah, great question. If you want them clean, you want to scrub them up real well. You don't need soap, but you just want to rinse them and get all the dirt and any bugs off of them, of course. And you want to open them up, so because you know the skins are less permeable and they're a little tough. So, like pickled green tomatoes. And this is especially good with Romas and those egg-shaped tomatoes that a lot of people grow for making tomato sauce. You just cut them in half or quarters, depending on how big they are, and that allows the brine to get in them easier. And if you're going to throw garlic in there, you just chop the garlic in chunks, you know, quarters or something like that. If you're going to throw a hot pepper or two in there, a jalapeno, cut it in half, cut it in quarters, drop it in there, you can just throw the dill in there loose. You don't have to wrap it in any kind of pouch or tea bag or anything like that. And overnight, they transform. It's magic.
You teach us magic just about every month as well. Now
I don't know. I love pickles, man.
now once you have got the items pickled, and how do you set them up as what's your favorite blend, I guess, with a pickling and a side garnish, if you will?
Well, the classic dill pickle recipe is as I said, it's just vinegar, a little water, garlic, some hot pepper, some dill, and away you go. And that's your classic dill. Now, you can do sweet pickles, they're great for sandwiches. And those, you put a little sugar in there, and then you can make pickle chips. You know, cut the cucumber horizontally, and now you've got pickles for your hamburgers. You can pickle eggs. And I've got recipes for all of these. Go to AmazingRibs.com, and you'll find the dill pickle recipe, the pickled tomato recipe, pickled eggs, pickled onions. Pickled onions are really fun, too. They go great on salads and pizzas. A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And I know that I saw you post this one. I think it was last week I saw the post about the end of the grilling season for most people. So that means some bargains. And I know that you guys do some great ratings on grills. If folks are looking for a bargain,
you're in a warmer climate than I am. It's you know starting to get chilly. November is coming around the bend for us, and. The hardware stores, Home Depot, Lowe's, all those big guys, Ace, they're clearing off the floor and getting in the Halloween and Christmas. Well, Halloween decorations have been in there since the 4th of July. It drives me nuts. But they're getting all the other stuff in there. So the grills are often on closeout. They don't want to store the grills in the back room. And by now, the little kids have gone by and they've twisted the knobs, so some of them have a broken knob. I once bought a really good gas grill at a Home Depot. It was like a $1,000 grill, and the guy gave it to me for $200. It was missing one of the knobs, which I bought online for like $20.
That's that was a good purchase.
Yeah. Often they'll dicker. If you get it, because they don't want these things. They want them the heck out of there. So you go in there and you look at it, and especially if you find one that's dented or something, make them an offer and start at half the list price. You can often get a deal and a half.
That's right. And of course, Meathead, I mentioned the website. I would be remiss if we didn't send folks over to not only find about the greatest grills to purchase, but also all the recipes that we talk about all there as well.
Yeah. And we've got a book too, AmazingRibs.com. Is the website. The book is Meathead. And, you know, one of the things we've been doing this year, if you don't mind me doing a little plug here, we've published three Kindle ebooks for $3.99 a piece. One is all about ribs, everything we know about ribs is in there. And another one's all about chicken, everything we know about chicken is in there. And another one is on this cool technique called sous vide Q, where you use this novel technique called sous vide. Now, don't get me, that took me a half hour to explain all that. But if your listeners know what sous vide is, it works really well with barbecue and smoking. And we got a whole book on that, too. They're all on Amazon for $3.99. And I'm sorry. I was about to say they're free, but they're not free this week.
Mm. Yeah,
we'll probably have them free on Black Friday.
All right. Well, be sure and check that out. And again, the website, AmazingRibs.com. And Meathead, always great to visit with you, my friend. And hope you have a great October. And, I figure we're going to be talking a little turkey next month.
Could be. And I'll see you next month. And maybe I'll come by for Halloween and get some candy.
There you go. Well, Meathead, always great to visit with you, my friend.
Take care, pal.
Again, thanks for tuning us in for this 30-second episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, feel free to find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, feel free to email me, cameron@kwhw.com. We'll see you for episode 33 coming up tomorrow.